ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय उमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षून्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददति स्वापदन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरून् श्रीयुतपादकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहागणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सवधूतं परिजानसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहागणललित श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणसिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त कञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरे वृषभानुसूतदेवे प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चकल्पतरूप्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम तत्सत् कैन आई हैव वन भगवद् गीता सॉरी सो टुडे इवनिंग वी विल रीड श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता इट्स ओके he will give to me it's in the 10th chapter text 2 If you want to open this. Thank you very much, Babaji. Ten two. Okay, we will chant together the Sanskrit. Name vidyu suragana. Name vidhu suragana. Prabhavam namahashaya. Prabhavam namahashaya. Aham adyehi devanam. Aham adye hi devanam Mahashinam chasavashaha Mahashinam chasavashaha Name vidhu suragana Prabhavang namahashayaha Aham adye hi devanam Mahashinam chasavashaha Name vidu suragana Prabhavang namahashayaha Aham adye hi devanam Mahashinam chasavashaha Please chant. Name vidu suragana Prabhavam namashayaha Ahamari devanam Mahashinam shasavashaha Name vidu suragana Amare devanam
Namami Vidu Sudagana. Ahamadevanam. Mahashina Sashavashaha. Name Vidu Suragana Prabhavan Mahashaya Ahamadi Divana Mahashinam Shasavashaha. Na, never, me, my, Vidu, no, Suragana. The demigods, Prabhavam, origin, opulences, na, never, Maharishayaha, great sages, aham, I am, adihi, the origin, he, certainly, devanam, of the demigods, Maharishinam, of the great sages, cha, also, Savashaha, in all respects. Translation and purpose, Vangres, Aisi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Shri Prabhupada, Ki, Jai. Neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences. For in every respect, I am the source of the demigods and sages. As stated in Brahma Sanghita, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord. No one is greater than him. He is the cause of all causes. Here it is also stated by the Lord personally that he is the cause of all the demigods and sages. Even the demigods and great sages cannot understand Krishna. They can understand neither his name nor his personality. So what is the position of the so-called scholars of this tiny planet? No one can understand why this supreme God comes to earth as an ordinary human being and executes such wonderful, uncommon activities. One should know then that scholarship is not the qualification necessary to understand Krishna. Even the demigods and the great sages have tried to understand Krishna by their mental speculation, and they have failed to do so. In Srimad Bhagavatam, also it is clearly said that even the great demigods are not able to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They can speculate to the limits of their imperfect senses and can reach the opposite conclusion of impersonalism, of something not manifested by the three qualities of material nature. Or they can imagine something by mental speculation. But it is not possible to understand Krishna by such foolish speculation. Here the Lord indirectly says that if anyone wants to know the absolute truth, here I am present as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the Supreme. One should know this. Although one cannot understand the inconceivable Lord who is personally present, he nonetheless exists. We can actually understand Krishna, who is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, simply by studying his words in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The conception of God as some ruling power or as the impersonal Brahman can be reached by persons who are in the inferior energy of the Lord. But the personality of Godhead cannot be conceived unless one is in a transcendental position. Because most men cannot understand Krishna in his actual situation, out of his causeless mercy he descends to show favor to such speculators. Yet despite the Supreme Lord's uncommon activities, these speculators, due to contamination in the material energy, still think that the impersonal Brahman is the Supreme. Only the devotees who are fully surrendered unto the Supreme Lord can understand by the grace of the Supreme Personality that he is Krishna. The devotees of the Lord do not bother about the impersonal Brahman conception of God. Their faith and devotion bring them to surrender immediately and to the Supreme Lord. And out of the causeless mercy of Krishna, they can understand Krishna. No one else can understand him. So even great sages agree. What is Atma? What is the Supreme? It is he whom we have to worship. Again the verse. Name vidu suragana prabhavam namahashayaha aham arya hirevanam mahashinam chasavashaha. Neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences. For in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages. Actually, in the preparation for this verse, there's some very interesting points made, also preceding this second verse and the first verse. And I would like to briefly mention these points, because I think that this is very important. So in the purport to verse 1, it was said that in the previous chapter, he, that is Krishna, has clearly explained his different energies to establish devotion and firm conviction. Again, in this chapter, he tells Arjuna about his manifestations and various opulences. So we can see that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, Shri Bhagavan, as sometimes it's said here in the Bhagavad Gita, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, he says, he explains personally his energies, his opulences, his manifestations, everything, the whole knowledge. Why? Basically, so that we can understand him and that we can gain more faith, right? So that we can have knowledge, and by knowledge, know how to behave ourselves, how to conduct ourselves nicely in the material world, but also how to get out of the world. Mashiksha Guru Maharaj, he says, he compares the Bhagavad Gita to a survival book. And sometimes one may crash with the airplane somewhere in the jungle or something, and you know, if one is extremely unfortunate, maybe be the only person who's surviving amidst all these tigers and snakes and poisonous plants and, you know, whatever, you know. So many difficulties suddenly, you know. Not only the crash, you know, but then suddenly, okay, still you are in the middle of danger. So actually we are here in this material world also in a place of danger, constant danger. Ne? Padam, padam, yadvi, padam, nathe, sham. And every step there's different varieties of suffering and difficulties actually. But it's not that this is bad. This is also has some good purpose actually. But nonetheless, we don't belong here in this jungle or in this ocean of the material suffering. We belong into the spiritual realm. So therefore, the Lord comes personally, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in this purport, and he is instructing Arjuna personally about his identity, about his knowledge, about his pastimes, about his qualities, and so many things. Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he mentions three different aspects, or two of the three different aspects, in which one can realize the Supreme Absolute Truth. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So, and Srila Prabhupada explains that by empiric knowledge, one can only come to the platform of Brahman realization. This is already good, right? Because Brahma Bhuta Prasanapana Shoshatinakang Shati Samasaveshu Bhutishu Madhvaktim Lavati Param. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that one who comes to this platform of Brahman realization, he is equally disposed towards everybody, and he does not lament, nor does he desire, hanker after something. He is satisfied in himself. So this is already some gain, this Brahman realization. And one very interesting example about a person who, a jnani, who came to that platform is, for example, Socrates, if one looks at the classical Greek philosophers. Socrates, he was completely self-realized. So when the rascal government at his time, they asked him to drink this cup of poison, he was completely indifferent. He said, okay, no problem. Anyway, they cannot kill me. The soul is, you cannot kill the soul. He completely realized that he is not the body. So this is the first step in God realization. And interestingly, this, if you look on the Vedic context, Because now, right now in the college, we're having the course Vedas and Upanishads, and it's quite interesting to see, because usually Vedas means Shruti, and Smriti means is mainly concerned about performance of yakya, sacrifices, which is karma, kanda. It's okay, you perform your prescribed duties, and if you have some material desires, then by the grace of the demigods, they may be fulfilled, if we perform sacrifice nicely. But after all, we have to attend to sacrifice. We cannot just act whimsically, right? In the Bhakti Shastri class, we also had this, the yoga ladder. First of all, one human being, he may be on the platform of the senses and the mind, maybe like an animal. He is interested in unrestricted sense enjoyment. Why I need to marry, you know? I can have 2-3 friends, you know, no problem, you know, enjoy with all of them. You know, but this is not on the level of society. This is not civilized. So therefore, karmakanda is there to regulate a little bit. But then, after karmakanda, there comes karma yoga. When we understand, okay, we need to perform our activities, our duties. We have our responsibilities and tasks to perform, you know, to maintain our body and soul together and our families, so many things. But then we are not anymore attached to the fruits of our activities. We don't want to consume and enjoy them ourselves. We want to give them to God. Nishkam Kama Yoga. Then after that is Jnana. The level of Jnana. This is usually the Upanishads are concerned about this. It's also part of the Shruti, texts of the Vedas. And the focus of these Upanishads, Jnanis, usually they are concerned about the impersonal conception, Brahman realization. So there starts, okay, some transcendental insight, basically. But then, after this Jnana Yoga, comes also Dhyana Yoga, meditation. And then, on what do we meditate? On Paramatma, the yogis who are looking, who are living in the Himalaya mountains, for example, many hundreds of lives, of years, and they perform very rigorous tapasya. They are after some material enjoyment. They want to have these different cities, 8 mystic cities. But why they want to have this? So if somebody comes to the level of proper understanding, he also understands that even these mystic cities, they are useless, because they are still concerned about material things. And after all, we are not the body, right? At least theoretically, we can understand and appreciate that. So why should I try to enjoy, even subtly, something that I am not? For example, if you have a nice car, or let's say your friend has a nice car, Ferrari or something, and then you try to imagine, oh yes, actually this belongs to me, and you want to drive it, but you know, in the end of the day, you have to return it. So this is very limited, right? So it's not actually real enjoyment. Some idea of enjoyment may be there, but real enjoyment is to get the nice car oneself. But then one has to work. One cannot expect that one gets something very costly, very cheaply. So this is Bhakti Yoga. When we come to the platform beyond Dhyana Yoga, then comes Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of the devotion to Krishna. So by engaging in Bhakti Yoga, basically, one can understand the supreme aspect of the Absolute Truth, and that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And this is very, very rarely achieved. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, and even in this verse, he says that neither the hosts of the demigods nor the great sages, they know me actually in truth. Why? Krishna says, because I am the source of them. So this is actually, first of all, very, very difficult to understand. Okay, there's something beyond this body, right? Because usually we act on that bodily platform. We try to eat something tasty so that we can get some satisfaction with the tongue, right? We want to see something nice, some nice form, or we want to listen to something nice. But this consuming of happiness from outside, this is miserable, actually, because this is just limited. And if you have a coin, let's say 1 euro coin or something, you have 2 sides, right? One with a number and one with a sign on top. So similarly, if you try to enjoy the fruits in some way or other of your labor, then either you become attached or averse to something. You think, okay, I'm frustrated from that relationship, I don't want anymore any relationship or something. And this is actually why many people, they turn towards impersonalism, that because they have so many bad experiences with relationships, for example. But this is also only the other side of the coin. We have to understand that ultimately everything is connected with Krishna. Yukta Vairagya, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada explained this principle, that we have to utilize everything in the service of its owner. And this is Krishna, basically. And thereby, we can actually get to know the Supreme Lord himself. The Lord is so kind that he reveals himself to us. Isn't that wonderful? But this is not something very cheap. This has to be earned by devotional service. We have to engage our senses, our mind, in the process. Srila Prabhupada, he gives the example that if you have a fire and you have an iron rod next to the fire, okay, if you put this iron rod inside the fire, it will become red hot and eventually also adopt the same qualities as the fire. It will also, if you touch it to some wood or some paper, it will burn immediately. Of course, it's not fire, but it adopts the qualities of fire. So this is very important for us to understand how we can become spiritualized. Or actually, we are spiritual. The soul is spiritual. But how we can reawaken to our original spiritual nature. And this is actually something I would like to focus in this class a little bit, because here it is said that only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, right, we can understand Krishna. Actually, Krishna explains in the purport that by being transcendentally situated, devoted, as it is fully surrendered to Krishna, by the Lord's causeless mercy and with faith and devotion. These are the qualities that we need in order to understand Krishna. Right? We need to have some faith. For example, I don't know if you're interested in this, but today I had some nice experience again about the Lord's mercy. And this, I want to narrate this a little bit, and also in the summer vacations. You know, at one point, because I used to take care about this horse, I don't know if you know it. So at one point, there was one lady here from Israel, and she also came to work in the restaurant where I was working, doing service together. And then somehow we ended up talking about this horse, you know. And I was really, I was thinking, oh, I don't want to talk all the time about the horse, you know. But somehow, you know, this connection was there, and it was so difficult to interrupt it, you know. And I was praying to the Lord, Krishna, please, you know. Because she was very kind, actually. She offered me that, you know, if you want, because she was a teacher, you know, about horse riding, she offered that I can show you something, you know. And I was thinking that, oh, please, I don't want to, you know, go too much into this matter. It's a nice offer, of course, of her. But I wanted to rather spend my time with Krishna, you know, reading or chanting or something, you know. Doing something for Krishna. So then I prayed to the Lord because I felt helpless. I didn't know what to do. And I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord mercifully helped me by suddenly this horse developed some kind of disease. And this is not a natural disease, like almost like another bone at the knee. And horses are very sensitive with the legs. I don't know if you know that. You know, if you have a horse and the leg is broken, basically, you know, the horse is useless because they all the time, they are, you know, they are living on their legs. They don't have the possibility like we. When we have break our legs, we can go in a hospital and have this gips or something, you know, to fix it. But because they have such a heavy weight, I don't know, maybe half a ton or something, you know, then they, you know, they cannot just have this. This is not possible. So something happened with the leg, and this was on Jamashtami, actually. And in Jamashtami, I was completely busy in the restaurant for a couple of days, so I didn't care for the horse, you know, because I was just too much absorbed with all my duties. You know, sarna and the restaurant and a little bit celebration or something, you know. So then, suddenly what happened, the owner of the horse looked after me, came to me to the restaurant and asked me, what did you do with the horse, you know? And I was like, I didn't do anything, you know. But, and then, anyway, the whole issue resolved, and it came out like this, that I couldn't ride the horse for like 10 days or something, exactly the time that this lady was here, you know. So Krishna kind of protected me by helping me to having a good excuse, basically, you know, not to ride the horse, and then but still be nice to this lady, you know, because I wanted to encourage her in devotional service and have some nice exchange, you know, but not about the horse necessarily. And today I experienced something similar, you know. This is also very interesting. And I was again praying to the Lord to help me in some precarious condition. And again the Lord mercifully gave me his mercy, you know, but answered my prayers in a way completely different that I was thinking about, you know, because usually we still, we have some conception, okay, yeah, the Lord should help me in this way, right? Or in this way. But then, no, he made back the cross through the enjoyment, you know. Okay, then you just depend upon me, you know. And but this is actually the mercy of the Lord. I don't know if you have experience from about that. That, you know, if we do something, you know, we really follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, even though we don't have complete faith, you know, but we know, okay, this is what I should do. My spiritual master has told me, or the scriptures, you know, when I read something, Krishna said, okay, you do like this. But then usually to overcome yourself and then, okay, anyway, yeah, I will do it this time, let's see. You know, this also takes some energy, right? It's not just coming automatically. So then, when you do this and you really take shelter of the Lord, the mercy comes. And sometimes, or most of the time, it comes in a different way than we would think of, right? And actually, I would like to finish the class with reading a little bit about different forms of mercy. This is from one Vyasa Puja offerings from ISKCON Center in New Gokula in Canada. By the mercy of Krishna, you came, Srila Prabhupada. By the mercy of Krishna, you walked among us. By the mercy of Krishna, you accepted us. And by the mercy of Krishna, you gave us your books to read and to distribute. By the mercy of Krishna, you gave us our threads. By the mercy of Krishna, you put us on the altar. And by the mercy of Krishna, you chanted on our beads. By the mercy of Krishna, you made us shave our heads. By the mercy of Krishna, you put us in dhotis and saris. And by the mercy of Krishna, you made us rise early in the morning. By the mercy of Krishna, you made us sing. By the mercy of Krishna, you inspired us to dance. And by the mercy of Krishna, the crows became like swans and peacocks. By the mercy of Krishna, we met you, Srila Prabhupada. And by the mercy of your divine grace, we can meet Lord Chaitanya. Isn't it very nice? Actually, it's very important. Srila Prabhupada several times mentions that in the first step in God realization is that we develop this gratitude and that we learn to appreciate actually the mercy of the Lord, even though it may come in forms that, you know, we don't immediately see, you know, recognize, or we think it should be coming actually in a different way, and then we feel maybe have some, how you say, some withhold, you know, or some grudge with Krishna, you know, why don't you give me, you know, I'm surrendering all my life to you, you know, you should supply me this, you know. But no, the Lord is not our order supplier. It's not a business, you know. This is an exchange about love, devotional service. And love is free from both sides. The jiva, we, the soul, can only give something voluntarily to the Lord, and thereby the Lord gains great pleasure. But also the Lord himself, he is not obliged to give himself wholly to every person. He is also a person, right? If we have a relationship with somebody, also we need to, first of all, to develop some trust, right? And do something together or speak and spend together a little bit of time. So the time that we can spend, our private time with Krishna, I heard some very nice elevated devotees say, is when we chant our japa. And when we read, and we have our sadhana practices, then we can have a focused private time with Krishna. We can, you know, show Krishna that, yes, actually, we are serious, you know, by chanting attentive rounds. And then when we read in a reflective mood and try to understand, okay, what it is about, what is the connection with me, or, you know, have this introspection. So this is how we can gain access to the mercy and come into this fire, Tivrena Bhakti Yogina, of intense devotional service, because only by developing this eagerness and you know, this clinging to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna can we actually be saved. Not if you think that, oh, you know, I'm indifferent, you know, I'm just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How much, you know, how much is this attracting the Lord's attention? So this is actually very important, actually, to know that love is where we put our attention, right? Okay, do we have a question or short comment? Yeah, please. Okay. Jai Gurudev, Jai Shri Prabhupada. Thank you. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think it's not good to say that we cannot think about Krishna at the time we think about Krishna. I think we have to aspire about this, which is better.
Yeah. You know, the key factor in this, what is motivating or inspiring our desires, is association. So by the association we seek, right, we get also things, you know. If we seek association of pure devotees, for example, when we chant nice songs, you know, from Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, about Lalita, for example, because there's Lalita's appearance day, you know, then we directly associate with Srila Rupa Goswami. If you read Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, and we try to apply these things in our life, then we directly actually take shelter of the lotus feet of these pure devotees. But also we have to be careful, because there's different classes of the devotees, right? There's also neophyte devotees, and so we need to be conscious about which kind of exchange we can have with the devotees and which not. So it's, I think it's good that you said that, see, Prabhuji, this is I very much respect you, but I think it's not befitting for the devotee to be so much on the bodily platform. And I think that this is correct. Of course, one also needs to have some kind of, you know, fun and have a balanced life, basically, you know, be honest and see where one is situated and then just try to increase from there. But Sachinanda Maharaj, he always says that we should always be a little bit in the stretch zone, not in the comfort zone, you know, just be comfortable, okay, I can sit in the castle in Radadesh and just take Mahaprasada and go for Mangalarati, okay, and then sleep for 3 hours during the day or something, you know. So we always have to show Krishna that we are serious, right? We want to divert our attention, our different tendencies, natures, whatever we have, in the Lord's service. And this is the beauty of devotional service, that we can actually do this. Of course, we cannot slaughter animals, for example, you know, but, you know, we can do so many things. We can be gardener for the Lord and plant some nice roses and then offer them to the deity. Or we can cook, or we can sing nice bhajans, or give the classes and also care for other devotees. Mahalakshmi, she is such an example for me. I'm sorry that I have to glorify her, but she is so nice about taking care about the devotees. You know, this is really so, such a personal, I don't know, exchanges she has, you know, and selflessly dedicating herself, and also Jai Bhadra Mataji. So if we see, you know, we develop this kind of observation, we don't need to be concerned only about ourselves. We can also learn to appreciate the qualities of other people around. Actually, when I was working in the restaurant, still Tushta Guranga, he said that His Guru Maharaj said that you have only two choices. Either you criticize somebody or you glorify him. So his choice was to glorify the devotees. And this is just so nice, you know, to be in an association of a devotee who is cultivating that mood of loving exchange, you know, giving them presents or receiving some gifts or, you know, sharing prasadam. Okay, so thank you very much for this, giving me this opportunity. So now it's opportunity for chanting fully with all your heart with the Ketanyoros here. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Ranhat Shriman Bhagavad Gita, ki jai. Gaura Premanandi, ri ribo.